Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here was our assignment. We have 2 ears and 1 mouth, so we can listen twice as much as we speak. And what are we listening for, too? The negative voices in conditioned mind would be enthusiastic about our taking this information to mean we should spend twice as much time listening to the voices in our head as we spend speaking aloud. However, if we use the wisdom to guide us to listen twice as much for to the still small voice of the wisdom, love, and compassion animating us, well, that's a wholly different proposition, isn't it? When we listen to the voices maintaining ego, we tend to say things self-hate will later beat us up for. When we listen to the messages of loving kindness coming from life, we tend to say things from the heart. Today, practice listening between the thoughts for the kindness coming from the unconditional. And when you speak, practice letting the heart speak. Record and listen.
All right. Well, what happened, huh?
Yes. Well, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Yeah, hi. This is Phil.
Hey, Phil.
Hi, Phil. Good morning. How are you all?
Excellent. Thank you. And yourself?
I'm very, very good. And I really like this quote because it never before dawned on me how important it is. And what I'm really saying is that listening is a really big deal because it's being present.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, in a very important way.
We have to be present to listen.
Exactly. And I can see how if I get drawn off into conditioning or just even, you know, kind of not. What I noticed is, anyhow, that I find myself not listening a lot. I mean, to just about anything. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like thoughts drop in. I'm paying attention, and all of a sudden something's dropping in, and I'm like floating out of the listening. And
we certainly don't have to be present to talk.
Right. Why? We don't. And that's for sure. And but we do have to be present to listen. And so mm-hmm. I thought, wow, this is really important because, you know, if I'm want to listen to life, which I do, I mean, that's the main thing to listen to, I need to practice listening to everything be more attentive to my mind drifting off into a distraction or whatever, when not just when people are talking, but just in plain old listening.
It's a wonderful, ever-present choice for directing attention.
Yes.
It's a wonderful way to be here. As you say, yes, when you're listening to somebody talk, when you're being present for somebody who's saying something, but just in general. To bring attention back to hearing and use that as a way to stay present.
Yeah, because, you know, we'll never hear the still small voice if we're not listening all the time.
That's right. That's right. That's the best point of all, isn't it? That so mm-hmm. much of that distraction is designed for us not to be present to life's guidance.
Right. Yes. 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 And that's why distractions are so important to notice and, you know, and to move back to from, because, yeah, it's just designed to take us off on a stream of whatever.
Leapfrogging around through conditioned mind.
Yeah, that monkey mind or whatever it is. Yeah, leapfrogging. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just going from thing to thing, you know, like that. And and so I can see why that is such a pervasive thing in life, because it's just preventing us from listening to our heart, to the small voice, to life, because life is right here. And if we're not listening, and I mean listening with eyes, ears, the whole body.
Present. Yeah,
impressive.
Yeah, and what you're saying really does help us understand why distraction is so popular.
Yes.
Ego loves distraction, because when we are distracted, it can run the show, and we never know it. Yeah,
yeah.
So that's very good. Thank you, Phil.
Yeah. Thank you. It feels big and so easy to practice, because we
can practice
it with anything.
There's always something, right? There's always something to turn attention to.
Right.
And hearing, such a great avenue.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Phil. What I loved about that conversation, Sherry, is how when there's an awareness of a process, right, where drifting off or attending to thoughts is distracting us from presence, and that the skill we are developing is presence, and there's such a movement of the practitioner to go, that's what I want to practice. I want to practice listening everywhere because it's so important. I want to be present. And when I realize that in this way I'm not, and in this way I can up my presence game, then mm-hmm. that's what we move towards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's fun, and it's exciting.
It's fun.
And it's only ego that says, oh, but that's going to be boring, and there's not going to be anything. And the other point that Phil made that I thought was so important is that when we talk about listening as a way of being present, we're using all of our senses to accomplish that, which
mm-hmm.
can sound kind of odd. Until you have the experience.
Right, because what we're really talking about is not listening, but attention on awareness.
Yes, yeah. No. Well stated. Mm-hmm. That's it.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rob in Minnesota.
Oh, hello, Rob.
Hi. Well, I've been listening to process as well, and looking at a period where conditioning would like to tell a story of I'm drifting away from practice and kind of drifting into old habits. But when I really listen and through a lot of the great things that have been talked about on the show this year, what I'm seeing is that all conditioning's attacks are always counterattacks. That conditioning is responding to a kind of a genuine impulse and then overtaking it. And that's really helpful.
Yes. If I'm understanding you, Rob, there's the genuine impulse, and then conditioned mind, being the world of opposites, takes that in an opposite direction.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
Yeah. So at one point, somebody called in and said, "I'm calling into the show because the voices are telling me not to." And the conversation we had was, "No, actually, you're calling into the show because your genuine initial impulse was to call into the show. Then the voices kick in with, oh, you don't want to do that. That's too hard. You could do it next week. This is, you got too much." Is that where you're
That's exactly, yeah. That's the very conversation I was thinking about, yeah, because that really has been helpful to me. And what I'm looking at is, you know, the end of a long, busy day, tired, ready to rest, and the being wants to kind of sigh and go, phew, and breathe, you take a few breaths and say, wow, what happened to me? You know, like what would be the good medicine? What would be a really loving treat right now? And then conditioning just charges in with a full brass band going blah 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 blah, blah, you know, old habits, mm-hmm. old habits, and kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
hijacks that moment. And conditioning says, I know what you need. You need all this old stuff. And then
you need to turn on the TV, pop a cold one, order in a pizza, and eat chocolate until the pizza gets here. That's conditioning version of how to take care of yourself.
And I'm just seeing that, and it's making me realize that what I really want to practice with is allowing some space and time for that initial impulse, and just protecting it, protecting that fiercely. Mm-hmm. And as I think about it, it's like, the most kind of evil thing that conditioning says is, I know what you need. I know what you need. And then it's always one of the old...
I know what I need. I know what I need from you. I need you to be unconscious and do something harmful to yourself. Yeah.
And so it's just that at times I can do it, but I'm seeing it's something I can practice, is to just be... let it be fresh and new, and just go like, okay, this is a brand new moment, brand new day. What would actually be kind right now? And wait and listen for an answer, because that answer is softer than conditioning's big brass band. You know?
Yes. So, Robert, I was just responding to somebody in the email class who that I think relates, and he or she, whoever it is, said that they have a practice of coming home from work and sitting in silence for 5 minutes and then recording about their day. And they're not allowed to do it. They're just not allowed to do it. That 5 minutes, you know, might as well be 5 months. It is just not... because of this and this and this and this. And so what I suggested that I hope is going to be a good idea is first record the day. Pick up the recorder and go through the day and really hear yourself and be with yourself and, you know, feel good about the day and what you saw and what you did and what you learned and all you're grateful for and all that. And then, in that person's case, go to the 5 minutes of silence. Or in your case, now you're ready. Now you're really there with it.
Exactly.
So now just say, so what would take care of you? You're already in authenticity.
Yes. No, that's so good because what I'm realizing as I hear you say that is that conditioning also takes it upon itself to write the summary of the day, which is the lead up to its, quote, solution, unquote, to the day.
Yeah. And it puts that nasty spin on everything, doesn't it?
Exactly. Everything. Oh, it was a tough, terrible day, therefore you need this, empty calorie
not
treat.
Take care of yourself. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And whereas, in fact, it's because it's really true, as I think about it, I mean, that's the great thing about this really surprising conditioning with all the recording and listening we do, is that the news is overwhelmingly good. It's like, oh, yeah, I did that. I forgot about that. Oh, I had a nice conversation with that person. I'm tired now, but it's kind of an awesome tired because I did a bunch of cool stuff. That's why I'm tired.
Yes, and I find that after that experience, I'm actually not that tired. I actually have all the energy I need to be with this person in a really kind, loving way, whatever that happens to be.
That's great.
That's great.
Well, I'm going to try that.
Let me know, okay?
I'm going to try that.
All right, good. Thank you so much. Thank you, Rob. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rob. Oh, that was such an exciting conversation, Sherry. that at the end of the day, conditioning controls the narrative in order to influence what we do that will feed it.
Yeah.
And to pick
yeah.
up the recorder and be with the person implies that we're going into our actual experience of the moment, which includes everything that is in the moment that went before. And in that experience, we've made the movement that does not feed conditioning, and the life force is back. So with that life force,
yeah.
we can take care of the life force. We're not in the conditioned feeding ego process. And that's
yeah.
why we don't feel tired, because the life force is back here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's when you describe that, it's sort of making a walk from the dark room where ego already has us with the,
mm-hmm.
and just walking over to the light room where
yes.
there's plenty of everything that we need.
Yes. Well, and what Rob is pointing at, you know, in the theme that we're looking at right now in undulation, it's actually a transition, right? So I come home, and it's a transition from one sort of orientation to another orientation. But transitions are the most vulnerable places to ego. And so to recognize that it's simply an undulation, and to be able to take care of ourselves in that way of going back into staying with the person rather than responding to conditioning in a moment of undulation makes all the difference.
All the difference, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me of, and I'm not sure I'm going to get this right because I haven't read the book in a really long time, but in Time Out for Parents, that was one of the, you know, you pick up the little kid at school and the little kid is exhausted, right? Fried
mm-hmm.
from all of this stuff that's been going on all day with no ability to process any of it. And then the ride home and the rest of the evening can just be a disaster. And so what the parent started doing was bringing a snack, a healthy snack, and stopping at a park on the way home and having the healthy snack and talking about the day and blah, blah, blah. And by the time they get home, we're all good.
Yes.
And it's just yes. that simple little kind of break that we mm-hmm. can see obviously is a good idea for children. we're still the children that it's a really good idea for.
Yeah. You just have to process through it. That's the key.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes
okay,
recording
well, here's
and listening such a good friend.
Yes, really.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our next caller.
Yeah.
You're now live on the air.
Right.
Would you please
thank
introduce
you.
Yourself?
Oh, good morning, Ashwini and Sherry.
Good morning, Marianne.
This is Marianne in Vancouver, and I'm just having a little startled response because I was in the queue and I didn't know it.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, good morning. We'll say good morning as you kind of breathe and realize, life takes care of me in ways that I didn't even recognize. Puts me in the queue, and I didn't even know I was in the queue.
Well,
it's
actually really good because what happened just as you were saying that is, like, I just felt this uplift of spirit and a big grin on my face. And I went, oh, yeah, looking after the heart, being there for kindness and just, yeah. So I've had a couple of wonderful days. And I have to tell you, this very strange thing happened. I got a letter, and I thought, wow, it's from the States. I wonder who's writing me. And I looked at it, and I thought, this is beautiful handwriting. I wonder who that is. And I opened it up, and it was from me. It was a letter I sent myself from the retreat I was on. And, oh, it was so wonderful.
I love it. And that person has such beautiful handwriting.
I didn't recognize it at all. It was so funny. And I wrote a beautiful, beautiful letter to myself.
Oh, that's great. You know, go ahead.
I just think that
I was just struck that that's something we could do often, but go ahead with where you were going.
That's where I was going with it. That is the most wonderful gift you can give yourself, is to write a letter that you can read again and again and record it and say all those really tender things that you think about yourself or your experience. And, you know, what a great Christmas or Hanukkah present.
Yes. Yeah.
I was just so touched.
A gift of appreciation for the person. And, you know, of course, in the world of ego, that is so self-centered. That is so egocentric, right? And when we do the practice, we get it, that it is the least self-centered thing we can do. Because to really appreciate the human being that we are gets everybody else off the hook, right? They don't need to appreciate me. I want them to appreciate themselves, right? And
yeah.
So if everybody is appreciating themselves, because we're the only ones who know how we want to be appreciated, if we're all appreciating ourselves, then we can just be happy and grateful together.
Yes. I feel like it's more important, actually, to have it for myself, because I can speak what's true. Somebody else might not.
Right.
Say
nobody
what I want.
What you
they
need.
Think I want to hear.
Yeah.
Anyway,
nobody. I would say to you what I want to hear.
Yes.
Right. I wouldn't say what you want to hear, because I don't know what that is. Even if you told me what it is. I would run it through my stuff and come out with my version of what it is that you want to hear. So, yeah, the Buddha, you know, nailed it. We each have one person to save. So, if we get on with taking really good care of this one human being, helping this one human being to end suffering and be happy, what a gift to everybody.
Yes. The letter also had something in it that I needed to be reminded of. And what I saw was sort of like, I went, oh, I see this more clearly now. And it said, it's all about the process. And I realized it is like when you don't want to record and you think, oh, I can't, and blah, 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 you know, whatever. It's not about the content of recording. It is about the process of picking up the recorder. And
amen, sister.
And it's the same with writing the letter. Maybe it's not all about the content, but it's that process of the intention of connecting with your heart.
That's it. Because what you're saying is that when you pick up the recorder, you're already connected. When you write the letter, you've already accomplished what the letter is meant to accomplish. Right?
Yes.
You're already speaking from the heart to the heart. In the act of, I'm going to write a letter. You're already there.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean we don't still record, and it doesn't mean we don't still write the letter. It's just realizing the difference, and this is what you're saying, the difference between the content, recording or writing a letter, and the process, which is listening to life and following life's guidance.
Yes. I want to say amen, sister.
All right. You can say that. And we'll add an amen, brother.
Amen, everyone.
Yep. Thank you, Marianne.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashwini, Jerry. Bye.
Thanks, Marianne. It looks like we have time for one more caller, Sherry, so here we go.
Oh, good. Okay, all right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh my gosh, it's like I had that this moment of like, it's me, and it was. This is Tracy.
It's me, it's
Hi,
me,
Tracy.
And it is.
Hi,
yes.
Tracy.
Hey, I have a bit of a cold, so that's why my voice is a little soft. And I put myself in the queue after listening to the caller that, or the discussion about after work, doing a recording about what worked. And that's a practice that I have been doing this last bit of time. And so I'm saying that in that I'm just so seeing how there's just this constant choice to go to judgment to what's wrong and like to appreciation and what's working. And I was just with family the last week, and it was just
such
fun.
An opportunity for both, right?
It's amazing. And I haven't been to my mom's house in a couple of years. I've seen her, but I haven't been to her house. And can I tell a little story?
Sure.
So I got to her house, and I went to put something in the refrigerator, and there was no room in it. It was completely packed, but there was like nothing to eat. And so I thought, it's kind of interesting. And I didn't do it, didn't say anything, didn't do anything. And then the next morning I said, hey, Mom, do you mind if I put some of this stuff downstairs? Because her garage is cool. And make some room before we go shopping. And so I'm pulling these things out, and most of what was in her refrigerator were out-of-date condiments. So I just said, hey, Mom, some of these things are out of date. I'll put them aside, and, what do you think about, discarding them? And so anyway, we discarded these things, and then she had all this room in her refrigerator, and we went shopping and put things in it. And over the next day, she was like, oh, my gosh, like it feels so good to have things in here I want instead of just filled up with outdated things. And I thought, oh, my God, this is like what we do in practice. We shine the light and go, oh, this is outdated. Do I need it?
Right.
No, I can throw it away. And then we can put things in there that like take care of us and we enjoy. And
things
and,
that are current.
Exactly. And I just really liked that analogy. And it was so interesting. And then she was so excited that we started going through her cabinets. And it was interesting just to see the energy change of there was so much more energy available to what's here and what's current and now. And it was, my God.
The energy is flowing. The energy that had been locked up in keeping all of that stuff that is irrelevant and doesn't serve.
Yes. It was amazing. And we had this incredible, we had this really nice Thanksgiving dinner, and she was so excited and on, and I'm like, let's record about it. And so she recorded about it and got it more out of her head, and she's like, I want to learn more. Give me more exercises with the recorder. And so that was really fun, too. So, yeah. So I guess wanted to report the practice success, and it came from a place of, there's nothing wrong with having outdated condiments in your refrigerator, but let's just check them out.
Well, that was the point I was going to make, Tracy. That's what I wanted to underline. You didn't come at the woman with, well, let me start a list. Now I'm here. Let me start a list of everything you're doing wrong.
Exactly.
You just enrolled her in a process of, can I assist with this? Would you like to, and she's an agreeable gal and loves you. And so she said yes. And it just goes from there.
Yes. And then just to see the energy that was available to really
for
just
both
think
of you.
Open for both of us to, enjoying the week and enjoying each other and enjoying,
Yeah. Because you could have gone down a road of, oh, my God, I'm seeing my whole childhood here in this refrigerator, right? This is how she is. She's always been this way. You can hear how conditioning would like to take something like that and turn it into a misery for everybody. But instead, by staying present, and not going with any conditioned attitudes, beliefs, assumptions, and opinions. The two of you had a great time.
Yes, and that speaks to practice. I mean, if it wasn't for practice, I would have gone down that road, because I know that road well, and I don't want to choose that road.
We all know that road, that big ruts still, but we're on this parallel path now, and it's much smoother. Yeah. All right. Well, you take care of yourself.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Tracy.
Thanks, Tracy. Wow, and that brings us, I love that, the parallel path that we can choose anytime. It's always there. And we now know how to switch tracks.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just hop out of one of those ruts and over onto that smooth little path that we know how to go down.
Yes, and what Tracy was demonstrating for us is facilitation. Right? That it doesn't become about me. I can facilitate the situation in complete love and compassion when it's not about me. And that's sort of what we do when we sit on the cushion. And it's the skill that we develop with practice.
Not to forget that unconditional love is way more important than refrigerators or what's in them.
Yes, and that step by step, which is, you know, ask the question. It could go either way. But it's a clarifying question that opens the door to further exploration, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good. And that brings us to the end of another great show, Sherry, and here's our assignment.
All right.
The greatest danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it is too low and we reach it. This quote can bring us to the same clarity as bite off more than you can chew and then chew it. Life is not a contest. Only ego wants to make the contests that are designed to convince us it's possible to lose. There is no losing when we're aligned with life. As we hear often in this practice, the process is the outcome. We reach for the stars, and what we get is the joy of reaching for the stars. We're not going to get something as a result of aiming high. What we'll get from aiming high is the joy of aiming high. Today, let yourself be aware of what the heart wants to reach for and give yourself the pleasure of feeling the heart reaching. Record and listen.
Wow. That could just turn every moment into a delight, couldn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I like it. All right, let's do that. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. Take care, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Go happy.